This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Is there collusion amongst NBA players? And are the fans the only ones that are getting hurt by the collusion amongst NBA players? Now, the way that things are set up is it's not collusion if it's the players. And I wonder if it was set up that way by the league to protect the players a long time ago because, hey, these owners can collude because they're the ones paying.
Right.
And if the players went, hey, hold on, now we have a loophole. And now they're taking advantage of it. And now the owners are saying, hold on, this isn't fair to us anymore. And like, hold on, this is a problem to us. Well, Silver came out and was discussing a number of things about free agency because they do this thing where out in Las Vegas, like around the championship game, the summer league championship game, they all have the big state of the NBA where they discuss everything.
And he's a commissioner that actually enjoys his sport, unlike Rob Manfred.
I don't know if he does or not. I seriously think that he takes pleasure in other things, but. He
like being the bad guy in a DreamWorks movie.
He looks like the bad guy in a DreamWorks movie. Yes.
Huh.
But he said, Adam Silver came out and said this. He said, "The one strong conviction I have is that we should not have rules that are not strictly enforced. And we know that's the case right now. And whether that's by virtue of practice, whether it's because just the world around us changed, whether it's because players have power they didn't use to have, let's step back, let's reset, let's talk to our players' association about what system makes sense going forward." And then a little further down, and this is on 105.3thefan.com, he said, it's pointless at the end of the day that rules are being ignored. It's pointless at the end of the day to have rules that we can't enforce. And does that not sound like the owner is speaking?
Yeah. I mean, the commissioner works for the owner, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does. But there have been multiple agents and GMs and so on and so forth that have said, look, we weren't even having meetings, the night that we were supposed to be having meetings because wink, wink, nudge, nudge was already happening.
Right.
And,
oh, yeah,
and these things are getting set up around the league far in advance, and out of nowhere, Kawhi Leonard walks up to Paul George and says, hey, I worked us a deal. So force your way out of there, and we'll get this all taken care of, and we can play together and go home and do stuff. But I think if you look around the league, it's bam. Players are doing this all over the place, and they've been doing it for a while. I want to play with this guy. This would be a good teammate for me. This guy would be a good guy for my brand. Look at Anthony Davis. You know, he was on LeBron's show like the same week that all the information started coming out about him. You know, he was on the show, and you think they hadn't talked about it at some point about, hey, let's team up with this thing. And LeBron's like, look, I got a blueprint of how to get you out of your contract. All you got to do, I mean, if you're a good player, you can force yourself anywhere you want to go. And I love the freedom that they have to move around. I do. I think it's great because stick it to the man is kind of one of the great feelings I get out of this. Is this? These rich guys have had all this power for so long, right? And now the players have the opportunities to be like, we get to do whatever we want. I do wonder if the fans get hurt by this, if the fan bases of for the players get hurt by all this kind of all these players they kind of get attached to. The city of Oklahoma, the mayor just recently talked about it. You know, they have invested a lot around what they had in Oklahoma City down
yep.
there. In that Bricktown area, it all centers around Chesapeake Arena, and it's all right there. And they were like, look, this is great for us. This is a financial boom for us. And they were loving it. And then all of a sudden, it's just gone.
Is that not...
And the players don't care.
Well, and the players don't care, but I can see why the owners might, because that feels like... Excuse me. That feels like a notion that maybe the world is not as small as we thought. You know, like the idea that you can only get your brand in particular recognized in like New York and LA, I think that's like a passe idea. But maybe the idea hasn't passed that these athletes don't want to live in Oklahoma City.
right?
Or they don't want to live in Salt Lake City, or they don't want to live where
destinations. It's yeah. Miami, it's the LAs, it's the New Yorks, even though the Knicks are a problem.
Sure.
It's all these other places that are destinations.
And that is problematic for an NBA that obviously wants to continue to expand. And, you know, would they go back to Seattle? Do they want to go to Mexico City? Are they going to try to get another Canadian franchise going? Well, I mean, maybe somebody will just do it anyway, but that's going to be problematic if you see some of the smaller market franchises and the problems that they have. Like, you wonder if New Orleans is going to run into that, or if you wonder, did they find the right combination of these young players and they're going to take off? And then everyone will just accept that New Orleans is a place to be because you're winning. But, you know, that's a franchise that's struggled in the past with, like, attendance and interest and stuff like that. And, you know, the NBA doesn't like that because, first of all, another team needs a bigger share of everything. And then also they have to pay $600 million to start that team.
The thing that the NBA is going to run into is what began the major build for the NFL is when they created the parity league. They created the league that every team just about had some semblance of a chance, even with a short season. You didn't know at the end of the year. Everybody could say who they thought was going to be the Super Bowl champion, but most of them would be wrong. And as far as your team making the playoffs every single year, well, it didn't happen. There's usually a changeout. There's usually not the same teams making it. And that's one thing through the NFL that drove them to be what they are today, because every single year, you as a team, you had a chance to believe that you could make the playoffs. And once you got into the tournament,
right,
you could possibly be a Super Bowl champion. And it gave interest to every single game that was played. With the NBA now, you're going to start to lose interest unless you start acquiring just NBA fans and not home team fans.
So that's interesting because that philosophy seems to have paid off for them over the last few years. We talked about the NBA playoff ratings dropping this year because no LeBron in the playoffs. Like, I think that's strictly what it is. But before that, even though Golden State was running roughshod over everybody, their ratings were going up. Like, they were the hot league, especially when the NFL took a dip 2 years ago. The NBA was continuing to go up. Their playoff ratings were going up. Their tickets on the secondary market were going up. So it's interesting that, like, while all this is occurring, that you would think would shut down certain areas of NBA fandom, it hasn't been the case. And so that's why I'm kind of curious about the commissioner saying this, like we talked about in Crosstalk. Does he need to make a change, or does he need to sit back and allow this to continue because the NBA is more buzzed about than ever? I know buzz doesn't always equate good.
Go ahead.
But you did point out that teams like Oklahoma City that were part of that buzz,
yep,
now they're not going to be part of that buzz.
That's true.
You look at what's going on with the Pelicans. Maybe they got the mix right, but while they had what they had, they were having problem putting butts in seats. And you start losing teams out of markets in and out, and you start losing brands in and out. And even though maybe you have on a national scale where the basketball is still elite, if you start losing the underlying teams and the teams that help make and encompass the NBA because they can't compete, because only the big markets get the big stars, and even though you might draft somebody, you're going to lose them once they're
buddy. You know you've got them for 3 years.
Yeah,
and
then they're gone. You're going to turn it into what happened to college basketball where nobody cares about it until March, except for you maybe.
I know. And
it's because you don't know the players that are on the team because they're only going to be there for a short while. You're not going to run out and get whoever you just drafted to Jersey because he's going to change teams once one of his buddies decide that they're going to go to Miami or they're going to go to L.A. or they're going to go play for now Brooklyn, which is weird because, like I said, they used to only have 5 fans. There's going to be hundreds and thousands of them now that are going to run around with those jerseys. But it's not going to be in Brooklyn. It's just going to be the people that are fans of the NBA. This, even though the NBA is growing, has a possibility of killing it once you kill the other underlying teams in the smaller market.
Think about how weird that dynamic is against Major League Baseball, because I've never really drawn that comparison before. Major League Baseball is getting smaller and smaller in terms of, like, there aren't really a whole bunch of people who are baseball fans,
right?
Like general baseball fans, as much as they are specific fans of this team or that team. Whereas I feel like basketball has gone down, at least to a certain extent, that path you just discussed, where there are more and more general like basketball fans, as opposed to I'm just a fan of this team, ride or die. It's more like I'm a fan of this player and I'll bounce around wherever because I'm a general basketball fan. It is interesting to see those two sports kind of going in a different direction.
Yeah, baseball's gone regional. Basketball's gone more national, which actually probably means better for their advertising.
It's also fascinating to me.
But what's interesting is I don't think that that's a fair comparison when we talk about like the NFL's parity versus the NBA's parity, which actually like this free agency should be something that looks good to you if you are worried about parity. Because one thing you need to remember is in football, when it comes to parity, your most important position is quarterback and there's a scarcity. So that's why parity becomes difficult because there's a scarcity of what will make you good as a team. In the NBA, we're only realizing that we're getting more and more top-tier players. And it's just so difficult for you to actually have top-tier players. You look at it right now, is there a team with three superstars?
I mean, I would never disrespect Kyle Kuzma like that.
How many teams are there right now with one really good star or at least two stars on their team? There's quite a few of them at this point. And they are in places like when Colby mentioned just a second ago, we looked at Brooklyn, previously the New Jersey Nets, who did not have anybody, and now they have a substantial team. Teams like Miami for the last few years, who hadn't been good, actually, came and became good. The Pacers are still there. Utah is looking really good. Like, there's a lot of teams in here that we're not completely sure on or that we weren't sure on previously. As mid-market, small market that are looking good. And I think that it is pretty balanced. I think the big thing is just this is, as you mentioned from the top, owners of some teams that maybe haven't been run all that well, a little upset that they're not in the fund.
You ever know something really weird about the, like, that level of parity or whatever? I was thinking this before, and then I saw somebody text in talking about how few teams have won over the last 40 years. If you look at the last 35 years of basketball. So you go back to 1984. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many NBA teams have won one championship? Just one. No more, no less.
No.
Three.
I was going to say three.
The Mavericks and now the Cavs and the Raptors. But every other team has either been shut out or they've won multiple. Because it goes Celtics, Lakers, Pistons, Bulls, Rockets, Bulls, Spurs, Lakers, Spurs, Pistons, Spurs, Heat, Spurs, Celtics, Lakers, Mavs, Heat, Spurs, Warriors, Cavs, Warriors, Raptors.
How are the Spurs able to do that not being a destination?
That's a great question. And what's interesting is I would have thought they had that player again, is they had a generational or iconic player that didn't seem to care about any of that. And I kind of thought they had that again with Kawhi. And so we talked about these teams pairing up, but we're just a little bit away or like a different mindset of a player away from the NBA championship in most people's minds being over. Like, if Kawhi cared about different things or he's just a little bit of a different cat, depending on, like, whatever you believe, he heads over to the Lakers. And most people think you got three of the top six players, maybe three of the top five with KD's injury, and this season is over. And so it is interesting what a fine line you play on that. And I understand what the commish is saying. I just don't know how you regulate people that are regular friends. You know, like...
And I think that's one of the reasons that Mark Cuban's doing what they're doing right now. And I know people keep talking about how white their team is, but
so
I think the idea of building this this European culture is because they realize they can't land certain players.
Yep.
They realize that. And they're like, but so we'll turn our attention, our focus to the guys that we can get. The guys that don't know any better, for one, because, you know, they come from another country and they don't care about, you know, all the other things like that yet. And maybe they'll be like Dirk and never really truly care about that stuff because they have all these other things that they can do. Because the European mindset is so different whenever they come, you know, whenever they're here, it's completely different mindset about the things you can get, the things you have to get to compete financially with other people. And it's a different mindset there. And I wonder if they're like, well, we're going to just take that approach. We're going to invest in those kinds of players and we can build that kind of culture with this team. So that we have a team of guys that are all friends and don't want to move on from each other. But I don't know if that's going to work because maybe Luka's not that kid.
Well, we better hope it works or else what else do we got?
Just Dirk. I mean, that's...
But he left.
I mean,
he didn't leave.
Dude, he stuck around for as long as he possibly could.
Okay.
And then guess what happened, Kevin?
Then he retired.
No, well, then, yeah. He wanted to leave that one year, though.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.